We're going to have a pregame changer of uniforms, so forgive me for a minute. All right, I got to look official again. All right, well, I got to get back in character. Here we go. I guess you could say I was a character during that one, but that's okay. The question is, which one is my real character, the one in front of you now or the one that was in front of you just a minute ago? You can think about that one for a minute. All right, don't think too hard. Here we go. Psalm 23, talking about the Lord is my shepherd. This is a little bittersweet for me, peoples. I got to tell you, we've been here. This is week number 10, Psalm 23. Today is a concluding sermon. And I really enjoyed this. Of course, as a pastor, they'll tell you it's really nice to have a series like this because if nothing else, you know what you're going to preach on the next Sunday, right? So there is a little bit of comfort in that. So I really like this. Psalm 23, let's go ahead. The font's kind of small. If you can, read along with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's ask his blessing upon our reading today. God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that we can know you in a new way through studying what you've given us. Bless this time this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday. The Sunday that began what we know of as the Passion Week. This is the day when churches around the world are celebrating Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, Psalm 23, verse 6 may not seem to you like an appropriate verse for Palm Sunday, but I got to tell you, it fits almost perfectly. And we're going to have a good time today talking about Psalm 23, verse 6, talking about how it has an impact on us today, how the promises of Psalm 23, verse 6 can really impact our lives today, because it does. In our study of Psalm 23 so far, as we've gone through these verses, we talk about how the Lord is my shepherd, and we looked at Yahweh, the creator of the universe, the one who created everything, how that person is our shepherd. And of course, it seems redundant to say, I shall not want, when you have the one God who's in charge of everything providing for you. Of course, you shall have no wants. He makes us lie down in green pastures. We studied how sometimes the green pastures in our life may seem a little brown for us, full of rocks. And yet it's in the moments of our life, those tough moments in our life, that we grow the most. And God says, I know that these times are hard, but these times are for your growth. And that's what a pasture is, isn't it? A pasture provides nourishment for us. It provides growth. And so sometimes our color of green isn't God's color of green, and it's our eyes that needs to change. We talked about how he leads us beside still waters in kind of the cautionary tone there. We looked at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm just going to read it quickly here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. As we look at that, he leads me beside still waters. We understood that the number one cause for deaths in the desert is drownings. People washed away by too much water. When we understand the scriptures talk about water as a blessing, then we understand that sometimes in our lives, God will make sure that we don't get washed away by too many possessions. Godliness with contentment equals great gain. That's what we have here. And then we looked at, he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is the one that guides us for his name's sake, not for us. But because of who he is, he guides us. And we talked about the valley of the shadow of death. That's really a place of dark shadow, a deep darkness in our lives. We have those moments. Yet at this moment in the psalm, we get to the point where it's no longer he is my shepherd. He is the one that's with me. It's you are now with me. And it's those moments in our life that God draws closer to to us, the times when we need him the most. And we have the rod and the staff that comfort us. This is God's protection, God's deliverance, and sometimes God's discipline, right? And the comfort that we find in that. Look at the table that he prepares before us in the presence of our enemies, understanding that we have enemies, right? Oftentimes we focus upon his provision, but we have to understand that his provision is oftentimes when we're surrounded by enemies. We have enemies around us all the time. And in that context, we have you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. We understand the anointing of the head with oil, just like a shepherd would do with his sheep, is to get rid of the parasites, the insects that are around, that are trying to antagonize you, trying to distract you. And my cup overflows, that's a cup of restoration. Just as a shepherd would have a lamb drink because a lamb is sick, the lamb is cold, and so he'd give the lamb medicine out of his own cup. We find that God can do that for us too. And his cup literally overflows. And now today, here we are in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In your bulletins, you'll find an outline if you want to follow along with that. It's up to you. Just for your own note-taking if you want it. But in there I have the title, The Comfort of Being Pursued. Now, most of the time, we don't like being pursued, do we? There are moments in our lives. You know, when I was a teenager, there were times in my life that I might have been driving down the road a little bit too quickly. And pretty soon you start being pursued, right? You know what I mean? Not a good feeling, okay? That type of pursuit is not good, all right? Not good at all. When I was in junior high, I used to cry before going to Awana because there was a girl there that was pursuing me, and I thought girls were yucky, right? And I would literally cry at the front door of our house asking my parents not to send me to Awana, and they would, because that was pursuit that I did not like, right? And I can still remember her name. I don't want to talk about it. Thanks for bringing it up. Anyway, all right. God is actively pursuing us. That's what we're talking about today. God is actively pursuing us every single day of our lives. You know, as we look at Psalm 23, verse 6, I want us to understand exactly what this verse is saying, exactly what this verse means. And sometimes the best way to do that is actually tear it apart the words. We're just going to do a few of them today. We're going to look at a couple of these things. We have the word right here. This is where we get the word, the loving kindness. Surely goodness and mercy, what some versions translate as mercy, is loving kindness. It's the Hebrew word hesed, okay? And it means loyal love. Primarily in Scripture, when it talks about this, this is a loyal love. This is a love that's unending. What is loyalty? Loyalty is sticking with somebody through what? Thick or thin, right? Isn't that what loyalty is? And in our friends, we want loyalty, don't we? And God is saying, he's saying to you, surely goodness, and we know what goodness is, all right? Goodness is good, right? That's what it is. It's something to be desired. That's goodness. And in the Scriptures, the word goodness always means that, something to be desired. But this understanding of loyal love, when we look at these translations, you know, is it mercy? Is it love? What is it? Well, I want you to understand what kind of love it is. It is a loyal, unending love. Not based upon something that we do, but based upon God's character and who he is. This is the kind of love that we have, a loyal love, an unfailing love. So in Psalm 23, verse 6, the psalm of comfort, after going through all these things that God does for us, in the end, David says, all of this, I'm being pursued by God's love. God's unfailing love. Brian, go to the next slide for just a minute, if you could please. Here we go. So this says to follow, right? Your English word there is to follow. Now I want to throw out a couple of other applications of this word. This Hebrew word is used elsewhere in Scripture. Okay, in Genesis chapter 14, we read the account of Abram following those who captured his wife, his servants, including and some of his relatives, including Lot, right? Now, what kind of follow do you think that was? Do you think this is like a cow following another cow down a trail? Or was this more like a cougar following a sick rabbit? It's more like a cougar following a sick rabbit. This is not just follow. This is pursuit. This is the same word that's used when it talks about Pharaoh following the Israelites to the Red Sea. This is the same word that's used when it talks about the Israelites pursuing the Philistines after David defeated Goliath. This is not a passive, following behind like your shadow kind of love. This is an active, I am in your face after you, I will not let you go kind of pursuit. That's what this is. And God says, as your shepherd, I am chasing you down, Right? The Son of Man does what? He comes to seek and to save those who are lost. He does not come saying, okay, here I am. You just come all the way to me, right? No, he's not that at all. He's saying, I am here and I am chasing you down. I am pursuing you. And you know what? There is comfort in that, isn't there? There is great comfort in that. And that's the kind of love that God has for us. That's the kind of pursuit that God has for us. This pursuing to show his unfailing love. He wants us to experience his unfailing love. As we look back on Psalm 23 and all that we've learned in this, we understand that all this comes to culmination right here. Right here when it says unfailing love. God is doing some great things here at Grace Church right now. He is pursuing Grace Church right now. This morning we have 71 people in attendance this morning. It has been years since we've had over 70 people in a regular worship service. And here we are this morning. God saying, I've got something for you people. Look at what I'm doing. I am pursuing you. I have not given up on you. I have something for you. My unfailing love is here and we praise God for it. We praise God for what he's doing, don't we? This is God working. All the praises that we shared this morning, this is God saying, look, life is tough, but my unfailing love is here. Look what I did for Rebecca this week, right? Look what I'm doing for Junior. This is God's unfailing love, and we should cry in face of this, praising God for what he's doing. This is amazing. This is life breathed into Grace Church because of what God is doing. Psalm 23 should be real to us. This surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely God's goodness, God's unfailing love shall chase me down all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, if there's a prophetic verse in Psalm 23, it's this verse. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was speaking ahead to eternity. We don't all get a glimpse of eternity like this. And yet, through the reading of God's word, we can understand what it's like. Last week I read a verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to have it up on the screen here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to read this to you. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Next slide, please, Brian. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I love verse 17. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Amen, right? That's Psalm 23, 6, isn't it? That's a fleshing out of Psalm 23, verse 6. It says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then 1 Thessalonians tells us how we're going to get there. And that's awesome. And we think about Palm Sunday. We think about the fact that there's no way we could get there if it wasn't for what Christ has done, correct? He rode into Jerusalem as a king. And he sacrificed himself for us, so that we could get there. That is pursuit, isn't it? That is sacrifice. Unending, undying, unfailing sacrifice. John 3:14 through 17. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is pursuit. That is our gift of eternal life given to us by God. That is goodness following us, isn't it? That is the comfort of Psalm 23, verse 6. Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know what your spiritual situation is, condition is here at Grace Church this morning. But I want you to understand that as we read these words on the screen, these aren't words that I just typed up. These aren't words that I made up. These are words from God's own scriptures given to us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God has given these words to us, and these are God's words for us to live by, for us to apply to our lives. As we look at this passage, this is God saying, look, even before you loved me, I loved you and sent my Son to forgive you for your sins. And on Palm Sunday, Christ entered Jerusalem knowing 5 days later he's going to sacrifice himself for our sins. For our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. This is the gospel right here. This is God's unfailing love pursuing us. Christ saying, I'm not, Christ saying by not saying, right? He said, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to bring you back in a right relationship with me. If I have to sacrifice myself to make that happen, I am willing to do it. The night before he was in a garden, he was crying out to God, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me, but yet not my will, but your will be done. He was obedient to death, even death on the cross. And because of that, by his wounds, we are healed. That is a spiritual healing. That is a healing. That is a restoration. That is God looking at us and saying, you are an unjust people, declaring in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. None righteous. For all have sinned. And he was saying, look, I know this. And so what am I doing? I'm going to send my Son to take the punishment for your sins so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have a right relationship. I am pursuing you. Will you let me? Will you let me catch you? Because here's the thing. God gives us free will, doesn't he? We each have a choice to make. Sometimes in our lives, we can avoid God. There are times that we can put him off. He gives us the choice. We're talking to Sunday school last week. How loving is it to love somebody when you don't have a choice whether to love them or not? Right? Think about that from a marriage relationship, for example. Okay? If there's only one man and one woman left in the world alive, right? What choice do you have? It's when it comes down to the multiple choices, that's what makes the marriage relationship so great. Because you realize out of all the men in the world, she chose to marry me. Either that says how great I am, or that says how crazy she is. Which one is it? Don't answer that question, right? Okay? But we have that right. It's the choice that makes that amazing, isn't it? And it's God's choice to love us that makes it amazing. And it's our choice to love him back that deepens our relationship. We have a choice. He is pursuing. He calls the church his bride. This is a wooing. He wants to be in relationship with us. Will we allow him to do that? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever hears my word, believes on him who sent me, has eternal life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. That is Jesus coming to seek and to save those who are lost, right? John 14, 1 through 3 says this, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you they go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A house that has many rooms. A room for me, a room for you, room for us all. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Psalm 23, verse 6, God says, I am pursuing you. I want a relationship with you. What are you going to do about it? That's a question each of us have to ask individually. I can't answer it for you. Nobody can answer it for you. But isn't that the promise and the blessing of Psalm 23:6, saying, I am pursuing you and with my love pursuing you. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you're in a right relationship with God, if he is indeed your shepherd, his promise is, I will prepare a place for you. In fact, I'm doing it right now. And you will live there forever. That's the promises of God's word. That's not me talking. That's God talking. Right? You can ignore me all you want. I don't care. But when God says it, you better not ignore it. And God is the one saying it. I've been known to be wrong several times a day. It happens, right? But I'll tell you, there is not an error in God's word. And when I read from God's word, I believe everything it says. And sometimes, I'll be honest, there are times you don't really like it, do you? People will point something out to your life and you're like, ouch, what is that for? Well, you need to grow. Okay, thank you. But why do you have to be the one, right? It happens. Messengers, God uses people to give his story, to tell truth. And his word is truth. Jesus says, I come to seek and to save those who are lost. To seek, to pursue those who are lost. He's just not standing there passive. He's not up there on a mansion on a hill, just, all right, whoever wants to crawl my way. That's not it at all. He is there pursuing a relationship with you. The good shepherd. The good shepherd is pursuing a relationship. So the question you have, are you one of his sheep? Are you one of his sheep? I don't know the answer to that. Only you know the answer to that. It's a question you have to ask. He who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has eternal life. It's nothing more complicated than that. You don't have to do a fancy dance, give money to church. You don't even have to be baptized. The Bible says you have to believe. 92 times in the book of John, scriptures say, believe. And that's it. Believe, believe, believe. 92 times. When God repeats himself that many times, thinking he means it, right? Believe. So if you're not one of his sheep, all you got to do is believe. Say, God, you know what? I believe that you came and died for my sins. And I believe that you can forgive me for my sins. And God, I'm just asking you to forgive me. And he says in 1 John 1:9, when you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not just some, but all. There is not one thing that God cannot forgive. Last week, we looked at the restorative power of God's cup, knowing that his cup overflows. There is nothing we can do that he cannot restore us. God can heal any wound. Because God is who he says he is. He is Yahweh. He is the creator. And he is pursuing us. And if you're a believer right now, God wants you to grow. He is pursuing you. He is calling you to growth. He wants you to mature. We at Grace Church, what's our mission? We want to make mature followers of Jesus Christ, right? That's why we exist, to make mature followers of Jesus Christ. Are you guys willing to be part of that? If you're a believer and here today at Grace Church, will you join with me as we make mature followers of Jesus Christ? God is calling out, say, look, let's grow together. Let's do something. I'm pursuing you. I want these things for you. Will you now reflect these things to others? Will you do that? Will you allow God to pursue you? Will you allow God to show you His love and His mercy? In closing, as we think about Psalm 23 and just this last message, I was thinking about the promises that we've learned from Psalm 23. The things that God has taught us, the lessons we've learned. Do you ever sometimes wonder in your life if anybody cares? If there's anybody at all that even notices you? You just feel invisible sometimes. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. There's a person that cares. There's a person who loves you. You ever feel like everything's in turmoil? You don't know how you're going to make it? You just feel kind of washed away by life's circumstances, overwhelmed, if it will? Psalm 23, verse 2 is for you. You ever feel down or discouraged? Psalm 23, verse 3, He restores my soul. Do you ever wonder what direction your life is headed? Where you should go next? He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Are you in a dark place in your life? A place where you just wonder, God, I'm not sure how I'm going to get out of this. I feel like I'm on rock bottom. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. You are with me. Do you feel alone? God is with you. Do you feel surrounded by enemies? Psalm 23 verse 5 says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Enemies are going to be there. There are days you will feel surrounded by enemies, and yet the promise of God's word is that I have something for you in the midst of this. Do you feel beat down? If everyone is against you and you can't get past it, you're tired of fighting, right? There are days you're just tired of it. God, I can't go on anymore. I'm too stressed out. I'm too sick. Everybody's against me. What do I do? God says, look, I anoint your head with oil. My cup of restoration is overflowing for you. My promises are here for you. Psalm 23 verse 5 is for you. Do you wonder if in the end it's worth it? Do you wonder what's the point of life? What's the point of living? God, I don't even know why I'm here. Psalm 23 verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if there is anything that's worth it, it's dwelling in the house of the Lord, right? We should be so excited to look forward to that time in our lives when we're in God's presence forever, and it's going to be a glorious event. People try to illustrate it, and they have, you know, angels on clouds playing harps, and I'm sorry, that's boring, right? Absolutely boring. But God in His word says His kingdom will never stop growing. He says our knowledge will never stop growing. Every single day we're going to learn something new, and that's going to be exciting, and that's going to be heaven, and I can't wait to get there. Right? Are you with me, people? That is God's promise to us. He says, I'm pursuing you. Let's go! Right? Amen and praise God. Thank you for the comfort of Psalm 23, right? That is Psalm 23, and that is the power of God's word in our lives. That is the power of what God's word can do. God, I come to you today. Lord, when there's nothing else to say, it's time to come to you and give thanks. And God, we're giving thanks to you. You are an incredible God. You've done some incredible things for us. And I stand amazed in your presence. We praise you for what you've done and what you're continuing to do. Thank you for your promises. And I thank you that someday we will be in eternity with you because of your promise to us. Not because of anything we have done, but because of what you have done for us. God, thank you for what you have done for us. I praise you, God. In Jesus' name.